Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is May 14th, 2019, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Life is a Highway, the Cochrane Collaboration, and our guest skeptic is Dr. Michael Brown. He is from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he's also the chair of emergency medicine at Michigan State. Not University of Michigan, wouldn't want to get the Wolverines in on this, don't want to mix that up. I would not have a happy guest. No, he represents the Spartans at Michigan State. Welcome to the SJAM, Mike.
Thank you, Ken.
Well, it is great to have you here because we are in Viva Las Vegas for the 30th anniversary of SAEM. That's the Society of Academic Emergency Medicine. Excited to be here?
Definitely. Looking forward to the conference.
Well, this is their biggest conference ever. It is, shall I say, huge. They've got more than 3,000 people attending this conference. I mean, it's going to be fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, and the program looks great.
It does, doesn't it? Well, my bestie, Chris Carpenter, said, well, we're going to be in Las Vegas. We're going to be staying together, and Mike Brown's going to be there. You have to ask him about this new Cochrane collaboration group that he's been put in charge of that deals with emergency medicine. But Mike, I don't want to get into it yet because I think that there might be some people who are listening that don't even know what the Cochrane collaboration is all about. So could you give us a little bit of history on what the Cochrane collaboration is?
Sure. Ken, the Cochrane collaboration came to be formed in the early 90s. And it was started at Oxford in the UK. And basically, it was a group of evidence-based medicine proponents who wanted to put systematic reviews on the map and sort of have a home for the highest quality systematic reviews. And that's where the Cochrane Library came to be.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, it was in the early 90s. That is slightly out of my favorite era, the 1980s. But Dr. Cochrane, he was churning away at this back in the 1970s. Wasn't this all formulating back in the 70s?
That's right. Dr. Cochrane was, a historic figure in the 70s. And then later they named this organization after him.
Yeah, they formalized it in the early 90s and came out with this Cochrane collaboration of like-minded individuals. And you said they were really, you know, evidence-based proponents. I would say nerds, which I will translate into intellectual badasses. But tell me a bit more about the Cochrane collaboration. How many people are involved? Where is this taking place? What's happening with Cochrane collaboration now in 2019?
Well, it's evolved quite a bit since those early days when it was really sort of a free-floating organization, a lot of volunteer structure. And now it's gotten so large that they've had to re-strategize the last decade to try to figure out how to get a handle on this. Today, there's over 13,000 members of the Cochrane Collaboration, meaning authors or editors, and then there are over 50,000 supporters in some way or another, and we're spread across 130 countries.
It is a global phenomenon, isn't it? It really speaks to the success of Dr. Cochrane's vision of let's put together something and get a bunch of like-minded people together to try to come up with the best evidence that they can for patient care. So they must have a mission statement. Can you give us the mission statement?
Sure. Before I do that, I'm thinking, what's amazing is they had the foresight even before. Now it's obvious with computer technology that there's too much. We have information overload. Everyone knows that. But back, in the 80s, they were already anticipating this. And so they knew that the average clinician couldn't keep up on all the literature, so they needed to have a way of synthesizing all of this information in a format that clinicians could digest. And that's where really what the goal of the Cochrane collaboration was about. The mission statement, I'll read it to you. Quote, our mission is to promote evidence-informed health decision-making by producing high-quality, relevant, accessible systematic reviews and other synthesized research evidence.
It sounds even a bit like the SGEM and FOMED, because we're always talking about, you know, that there shouldn't be any paywalls, that it should be accessible for anyone, anywhere, anytime, on any platform, and that we want patients to get the best care based on the best evidence.
Yeah, and that is right in line with the collaboration's viewpoint as well. There's a lot of work now in 2019 on KT, knowledge translation efforts. Okay, we do all this work to produce a systematic review that might be 160 pages. Your average clinician's not going to read that. So they now are looking at ways to summarize the summaries, you know, in a form that's digestible, not only to physicians, but also to other clinicians and patients.
I read one of the systematic reviews and meta-analysis, and by no means am I an average physician. I have a problem. It was over 500 pages long. So please, can you summarize that? I mean, we're speaking to emergency physicians and critical care physicians and other clinicians that take care of people who are having emergencies. We don't have that kind of attention span. Help us out.
Yeah, so there's a couple things that tie in the last conversation about accessibility. What's nice about the Cochrane Library is anyone in the world can go right now today to cochrane.org and look up the abstracts for free. Doesn't matter where you are, there's no paywall. So it's all, the abstract is pretty helpful summary, and they now have a plain language summary included in that. So that is free worldwide. And then they also, in terms of access, have sort of a green open access for low and middle income countries. They do make, you know, folks like us, the Canadians, the US, we have to pay.
That's okay though. You know, like it comes back to the idea of taxes, and I don't like to get political, but I'm privileged and I make a very good income and I'm happy to share that. Now that's my opinion and I don't mind paying. So that other people can get access to it. So, but this isn't a political podcast. This is a nerdy podcast. And I like the fact that they're taking that abstract that's free. And I would say that's the talk nerdy to me section. And then they've got that plain language. Okay, talk English to me. Can you bring it to the patient's bedside? What does this really mean? How do you put it in context? So I really like how they're doing it in layers and evidence-based medicine. And research, it has layers. It's like a parfait. Everybody loves a parfait.
You know, the other thing I'm going to bring up, Ken, is just as far as translating this. So they have ways of summarizing, like I said, those abstracts into specialty-specific summaries. So they call them Cochrane Corners. And so the French, for instance, create Cochrane Corners for emergency medicine. And they translate them into French and disseminate it in their local journals in France. And so there's efforts similar to that in the U.S., and I think you're aware of the Annals of Emergency Medicine Systematic Review Snapshot.
Oh, and they translate it into American?
That's right. And also now the Academic Emergency Medicine just started a new series called Brass Tacks, which has recently summarized a number of Cochrane reviews for emergency medicine clinicians.
Well, that's an excellent segue into what I really wanted to get you to talk about today, and that is this new position that you've been granted, honored. Is it a sentence? I don't know. We'll find out. But it's acute care and emergency care. It's a network, right? And this is the new position that they've started at Cochrane. So tell us, what is this network of acute and emergency care?
Yeah, it's really a good question. The organization became a little bit unwieldy, like I mentioned at the beginning, and there are 54 review groups. In other words, little units that create systematic reviews on a particular area of medicine. And it was very difficult, you can imagine, being the editor-in-chief and having 54 co-editors, you know, speaking to you, asking questions, looking for guidance. It's
a surprise you got anything done is what you're saying.
Exactly. So what happened is they had to restructure it into networks. It's basically lumping and splitting. And so what they did is split the 54 groups into about five groups each within each network. So there's now eight networks. So I'm what you'd call a middle manager.
Oh, you're middle management. Oh, I don't know if they love you or hate you, but you're middle management now.
Exactly. So I'm in between the editor-in-chief and these co-editors that are the review groups. And so I have five review groups within the acute and emergency care network. And we produce a number of reviews directly relevant to emergency medicine, but I will have to admit a number of reviews, for instance, anesthesia, that review group happened to fall in my network.
Well, there's a lot of crossover.
There's
there.
Crossover, but it's not pure. You know, there's post-operative reviews and things that fall under my, you know, jurisdiction. So it's not totally clean, but they had to make these sort of lump and split at some point.
And when did this come up? When did they decide to do this? How new is this?
Yeah, this is very new. So in the last, let's say, few years, they did the strategic plan. And I would say in the last year, the networks actually were populated with network editors, senior editors like myself. And I will throw out there, I just was newly named also network senior editor for circulation and breathing, which the reason why there was an individual that stepped down, but long story short is that there's a huge overlap, you can imagine, with circulation and breathing disorders and emergency medicine.
I'm just thinking that, you know, as an EM physician, you are all about the ABCs. You own the airway with the anesthetist, but you own the airway and the crashing airway. And the breathing and the circulation follow quickly behind. So I get it. It makes sense. So are you getting to put together which topics you're going to tackle? Like, is it you deciding or a group deciding and then feeding down to the people in your network? Or is it more grassroots and the network is doing stuff below you and then feeding up to you? How is that system working?
That's a really great question, very insightful, because that's really what my main job is to sort of figure that out. But it's not like a simple problem. And so there's a lot of reviews that are already in process within each group. So the title's been named, and then as you're probably aware, it takes a couple years often to do a full review. So the protocol's published, and then they're working on it, and then it's the editorial side. So there's a lot in the pipeline already. And one of the big changes with Cochrane is instead of trying to be everything to everybody, they have narrowed it down and said, look, each review group needs to prioritize and really do those reviews that are highest impact to patients. You know, what reviews are most important to patients and clinicians. So we're trying to refocus our energies on those high impact reviews. One of my main roles as the senior editor is to figure out, okay, which areas haven't we touched on that is a big gaping hole in the Cochrane Library for emergency physicians and other providers that do acute care. And then also which reviews are maybe have been published but are already out of date, have to be updated. So you can imagine there's a lot of work to be done.
You know, if you don't mind me making a suggestion, why don't you go for an early win and focus in on something that isn't that controversial, that everybody sort of agrees on, that you can bring people together under one tent. And of course, you know that I'm thinking of thrombolysis for acute ischemic stroke. So I would suggest you start there. What do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I really appreciate that. I was caught in the middle of that in my role of writing guidelines, if you recall.
I do.
For ASAP. But you know, to be honest, you're not far off the mark. So here's the thing. In my new role in the Circulation and Breathing Network, stroke is one of the review groups. And to be honest, just in the last month, I had a conversation with the co-editor who's located in Edinburgh, Scotland. And we really do want to do that because, to be honest, that's a high-impact area. People still have questions and are confused. And there's been a lot of controversy, even within Cochrane, about the most recent review. So I think it does need to be updated, and I think we're going to do it.
Are you looking for a contributor? Because I know that there's this Canadian who's quite skeptical who may like to play a role if you're soliciting members.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That means no. All right. So what do you think you want to accomplish? What's the hope? What's the desire? What's the dream? Where do you want to see this 5 years from now? After you've been in this role, you've established the network. Where do you see this all shaking out? What do you want to happen?
Yeah, this is, it's like moving a steamship. You know, it's a big ship. It's a cruise ship, whatever you want to say. To change it takes time. And so I am hoping to be in this for the long haul for, like you mentioned, 5 to 10 years, because that's how long it's going to take. What I'd like to see is ultimately, high impact reviews that your listeners would pick up and say, oh my gosh, yeah, that really helps me in my practice of emergency medicine. So for instance, I did a journal club for the residents recently, and it was based on a Cochrane review on ultrasound for thoracic and abdominal trauma. I mean, how much more relevant can you get?
And the residents love the hocus pocus.
They did.
They love it. They love
did.
It.
And so it captured their interest because they wanted to see, well,
bring
what's
them in,
the
draw
accuracy.
Them in. Oh, yes.
And so that's how I introduced Cochrane to them. So
nicely played, sir. Nicely played.
So I'd like to see many more of those type of reviews that, you know, our listeners would say, yep, that hits home.
Well, there's one sensitive issue that I wanted to touch upon, and no, it's not about stroke. There was a recent controversy that came up in the news over the last year. Are you at liberty to discuss that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm speaking for myself here on the podcast, so I'm not representing Cochrane. I'll make that clear. And I'm a newbie on the block. Basically, you know, there's people in Cochrane that have been there from the beginning in the early 90s, and one individual's one of the founders of Cochrane was there at the beginning, and he was a very powerful, insightful individual in terms of developing Cochrane, and he developed the Nordic Cochrane Center in Copenhagen. He was the founder of that. And
quite an influential individual within the organization from the get-go, wasn't he?
That's right. And he had a lot of people that followed him, and he had mentored them. And so it got ugly, like any controversy in a large organization is. There was a disagreement at the top, and at the governing board level, he was one of the members of the governing board, and there was a disagreement, and there was some finger pointing, and the it all came down to poor communication, my view, looking at it from an outsider, but it blew up. And it was felt that there was inappropriate comments made at that level, pointing fingers at certain leaders, calling out names. And then he was dismissed from the board. And that really just threw fuel on the fire. And so there were people that were so upset about this. They chose to leave Cochrane or step off the board. So it became a very political hot potato.
Well, when you get people together and they care really passionately about things, you can have conflicts. And it's unfortunate that if any way this reflects poorly on the original vision of Dr. Cochrane and the whole idea and the mission of Cochrane Collaboration, because I'm sure they all want it to be successful and think that they have a path forward, but you have people involved, they may disagree, and it's unfortunate that that reached that level. But Cochrane is going forward. The Cochrane Collaboration continues to produce high-quality, clinically relevant reviews, and it sounds like they're reorganizing into these networks to see if they can streamline and better address not only the creation of this knowledge, but also the dissemination and the knowledge transfer.
Excellent. I couldn't say it better.
Okay, well, let's get to the Keener contest. Now, I'm recording this in advance, and we're going to use this as an SGEM extra this summer. So when you're sitting by the pool or up at the lake or just hanging out, whatever you like to do, you can listen to this. So for the Keener contest question, and that's Gunner in the States, the Keener contest I was thinking of is, what is Dr. Cochrane's first name? Is it Tom Cochrane? Is it Archie Cochrane? Is it Johnny Cochrane? And I thought, you know what, that's too easy. Anybody could just look that up really quickly. And then I thought, okay, well, it made me think of one of the famous Cochranes I just mentioned. And they had a quote, if the glove don't fit, you got to acquit. Now, I might be paraphrasing that, but that was another famous event in the mid-90s that people were glued to their television. But we have a broad audience. We have millennials. They have may have no idea what the heck I'm talking about right now. So you came up with a much better question than I did. So what's the Keener question?
All right. For those Keeners out there, give me the citation for the forest plot that is in the Cochrane logo.
Oh, yes, the Cochrane logo. So the Cochrane collaboration has this beautiful logo showing a forest plot from a systematic review and meta-analysis. But we want to know which systematic review and meta-analysis is that forest plot from. And if you know the answer to this Keener contest question, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, we've come to the end. Thank you very much, Mike, for coming on and taking some time out of SAEM. I know you're excited to be at the meeting, but I'm glad you're able to come up, have a beer. So we're spreading the foam. So we're spreading the foam med. So thank you for taking some time out of the meeting and sharing this with me.
No problem, Ken. Thank you for the foam.
All right. And now you get to read the SGEM tagline. And I'm always encouraging our guest skeptics to read it in their best accents. But you're from Michigan. And you tell me there are different areas of Michigan where they have different regional accents. This I did not know. I just thought everybody south of the 49th spoke American.
Yeah, no, Ken. There are distinct differences even in the state of Michigan.
Okay, well, you channel whichever part of Michigan you want in the tagline.
Well, you've been hearing my standard lower peninsula Michigan accent, so I think I'll go for the upper peninsula. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, eh? Even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.